Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Can't ask to be associated with better than that. Great to have them on board all the time. This happens because of them. Still to come this half hour, Rich Scarcella, the Reading Eagle, will talk Penn State football. But first, our play-by-play call of the day. Mavs and the Thunder, Chuck Cooperstein.
Foul shot, no good. Durant got the rebound. Up to Westbrook on the left side. Around Anderson, met by Dirk to Durant. Put it up, no good. Rebound, no good. Rebound, Adams put it in. They're going to count it. They're going to count it, and Oklahoma City, for the moment, has won the game.
I don't think it's good.
I don't think it's good either.
I don't think it got off at that.
And they didn't. It was no good. Steven Adams, just a bit late on the tip. Kevin Durant went 7 of 33 last night. The most misses in a playoff game since Michael Jordan. 7 of 33. Kevin Durant is obviously an outstanding player. But I will say this with all fairness. If LeBron James went 7 for 33 last night, oh, the hue and cry today about LeBron. Durant's held to a slightly different standard. Or should I say LeBron James is held to a different standard. If LeBron James went 7 for 33 in a playoff game against Detroit next time they play, which I think is tomorrow night, if he went 7 for 33 and they lost, oh, it'd be 24-7 till the next game. Wow. All right, let's talk Penn State football now. Rich Scarcella from the Reading Eagle joins us. Rich, welcome back. It's always great to hear you. What are a couple of impressions that you had on the game Saturday?
Trace McSorley's accuracy,
yeah,
in the pocket and on the run, that stuck out to me. Mark Allen's ability to find holes, the receivers being open quite a bit. Now, again, we're talking about second and third team defensive players. So, we do have to qualify that. But still, I liked what I saw from the new offense, Joe Moorhead's offense. Defensively, obviously, Kevin Givens was a beast, as we have heard throughout spring from James Franklin and others. And that's really it. I mean, it was maybe the best weather day I can remember for a Blue White game.
Yeah, that was phenomenal. What does it tell you about how people feel about Penn State football? That it's a scrimmage where, yeah, it's free and parking's free.
Mm-hmm.
But you still get tens of thousands of people showing up.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't 100,000 like Ohio State had, but it's still pretty impressive. And I would really, really like to know what the head count was in the parking lot of people who were there and didn't make it their way into the stadium, because I'm going to guess it was a pretty nice-sized number. It says a lot about the program that there's still a following and still a ton of loyal, diehard interest in this program. And I think I hope that the Blue White game continues to have free admission and free parking,
yeah,
because I saw a lot of young kids downtown in the morning and in the parking lots who probably don't come to games in the fall, and I think that's a great thing.
When you look at the offense and how they run it,
mm-hmm,
how much is the offensive line helped by the scheme?
Oh, I don't think there's any question. You talk to any of those offensive guys, Brian Guy, Andrew Nelson, and they will tell you how much they like playing in this scheme and how much it helps them, and especially the line that's developing. You know, I don't want to, you know, say that they're struggling because they haven't played a game yet, but it's developing, and I think the offense helps a lot. And I do know this: the offensive linemen, you know, in interviews, love it. Love Joe Moorhead, love Matt Limegrover, and love the offense.
I mean, that's big across the board. It's interesting how three new coaches have come in. Tim Banks, you mentioned Matt mentioned Joe. And it really seems like there's a cohesion. Is that the sense you're getting?
I can only speak to what I really saw on offense. But what I saw from offense, the timing for an offense that was just installed over the last, 6 weeks, whatever, the timing was tremendous, and there didn't seem to be any hesitation getting plays in or anything like that. I was very impressed with that, and I think that's maybe the biggest reason why Penn State will be a very, very interesting team to watch throughout this season.
What were some of the things that you saw from younger players that maybe you hadn't had a chance to see yet, where you sat back and said, okay, there's some talent there?
Yeah, well, selfishly, I was glad to see Jan Johnson get a shot because, as you probably can figure out, I never saw him play football because of my Penn State coverage. I never saw him play high school football at Governor Mifflin here in Berks County.
People don't realize that Jan Johnson was a heck of a dual-threat quarterback.
Tremendous quarterback,
I recall correctly, he had an offer from Akron.
Mm-hmm,
and he had an offer from Joe Moorhead at Fordham.
He did. Both, yeah. You're exactly right. And he decided, like other kids have, you know what? I'm going to try Penn State. I want to try, I love Penn State. I want to see if I can make it at the top level. And so that's why he chose to go to Penn State. Great kid, great background, I don't have to tell you, two-time state wrestling champion. And I was glad to see, I could see him play, and he played outside linebacker with all the injuries ahead of him, in front of him, and I thought he handled himself okay. I mean, obviously he's got work to do, but for the first time playing in a game at Beaver Stadium or, in front of a big crowd, I thought he did okay. So he's the guy that's the guy that when you said young player, that's the guy to me that stuck out.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think it's a great example of, I think, people in your area know, but I don't think people here really realize what a really great athlete he is.
Yeah, yeah. The thing that struck me is in a football uniform. I mean, I saw some of the wrestling matches on TV, and obviously he was going against guys 60 and 70 pounds heavier. He's a pretty big guy. He's a pretty big guy. I didn't really realize that until I saw him on the football field. It looks like he's put some weight on from the pictures that we ran during his high school career. So, tremendous athlete. I mean, and a winner too. I mean, he played offense, defense, in football, and then obviously the wrestling background. And the other guy is, Steve Andre Robinson.
Yes.
I was glad I got a chance to see him. He looks like he could be in the mix, it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out at running back, especially with Miles Sanders enrolling in June. But he acquitted himself well, for sure.
Yeah, I think losing the weight, I mean, trimming mm-hmm. him down a bit, I think gave him another half step back mm-hmm. that really helps him. I think he's down 7 or 8 pounds from where mm-hmm. he was in August of last year. And I think I think you saw that burst that maybe mm-hmm. you wouldn't have seen a year ago.
Yeah, and one other guy who has had his ups and downs at Penn State is DeAndre Tompkins.
Yes.
I really liked what I saw from him, and I have a feeling that he's going to be an important piece to this offense in the fall.
You mentioned, obviously, Trace McSorley. What were your thoughts looking at Tommy Stevens?
Like what I saw from Tommy Stevens, obviously, Trace is more experience, more game experience, but Tommy throws a really nice ball, and I would have liked to have seen him play a little bit more with the first team.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was the feeling with a lot of us in the press box because we saw what McSorley did with the first team in the first half. But I think the offense, Steve, I think it fits both these guys very well. I think they like playing in this offense. And Tommy looks like he has a really bright future.
I remember in 2005 when Derek Williams and Justin King were true freshmen, Joe Paterno ran the first six plays of the blue-white game specifically for them, and afterward people were talking and they were excited about it. We saw how this played out, ones versus twos.
Mm-hmm.
When you've had a chance to have some interaction with fans, what did that do for their thought process and what they're seeing from Penn State?
Well, I think they sort of agree with what I've said. I think they're excited by the new offense. I think it gives the offense, the line, more of a chance to hold its own. I haven't had a chance since Saturday to talk to a lot of fans, but I think the overwhelming feeling that I get since the hires have been very, very positive, especially about Joe Moorhead and Matt Limegrover. I think people are very excited by those two hires.
Brett Pry, of course, takes over as defensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
I know how highly you think of him.
I do.
There's some slight changes there as well. Bob Shoop was more of I'm going to call two defenses, check with me, defending them, how they come out and play, and then we'll call what the defense is. Brent Pry wants to call a defense, and then they want to have some fun and disguise it as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on him being the defensive coordinator and some of the parts he has to work with?
Well, I think it's important that, I know that Sean Spencer and Terry Smith are back, and I think, the fact that losing Bob Shoop, that's going to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they hired the right guy. I think James picked the right guy for the job. I'm confident in him. I like what I hear from him. I haven't had much of an opportunity to talk to him in person. I have been on phone calls with him. And I like the fact that he and James go back a long way. And everything else, and it'll be different, for sure. It'll be a little different. I'm not sure if he's going to blitz as much as Bob did. That's going to be something to see, those kinds of things. But I think too, with the experience at linebacker and in the secondary, I think he's got a chance to do more, to have more of a variety than Bob might have even with the personnel he had the last two years.
Rich, it's always great. My best to your family.
Thanks, Steve. Things are going okay. We take it. We'll see what happens. But thanks for your thoughts. Appreciate it.
Always, 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 Rich. Thanks so much.
All right, take care.
Rich Scarcella, Reading Eagle. We'll come back more in a moment as we continue today on the Tuesday edition of the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle's worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. All right, great to have you with us on this Tuesday, and our thanks to Rich Scarcella for carving out some time to be with us today to talk Penn State football at the blue-white game. It's good to see there's some buzz coming out of the blue-white game, which was great. And a lot of buzz. It's positive buzz. And in that realm, I don't think it could have played out better. They're talking about various themes coming up for this season. The whiteout game is going to be Ohio State. The stripeout game is going to be Temple. Homecoming will be Maryland. So those are some of the days that they have coming up. Each week is going to have a theme as to what is like Military Appreciation Day. I think that's the Iowa game. Senior Day, obviously, is Michigan State. Scout Day is Kent State. So they're various. You know, they've got various themes for each game they have coming up. And so those, you know, and hopefully we'll see it starts generating ticket sales. Interesting that this will be the summer where they'll talk about what they're going to do at Beaver Stadium. And I think Sandy Barber has made it, I mean, she's hinting more and more in terms of hints about renovation. Look, anything is that happens there is going to cost a lot of money. What do I want to see in a renovation there? Okay. Well, I mean, there's certain things that are obvious. I think obviously number one to me, all right, you have to do something about the bathrooms at the stadium. You have to. That's pretty obvious. There's also things you can do with the concession stands. You know, making the concourse wider wouldn't hurt. What you do with the seats inside, I'm not sure yet what that would take to do, because the row heights are not conducive to chair backing. So that may, you know, something may have to change there. But I also think that when you look at the press box side, I know they just put $2 million into the press box. I understand that. But the press box side is also a side where if you wanted to do something with it between press levels, maybe a couple of luxury suites, but also, you know, a lot of places, Iowa and Michigan State, for example, have put club seating underneath their press boxes with a club. That's something to maybe look at. But if I had to pick one part above all, okay, you know, bathrooms and concessions are certainly huge, and obviously concourse width and ease with which you, the fan, can get in and out of the stadium is extremely important. But to me, a big part of this, and it's going to be, I think it's going to be the most costly part, is making sure that you have all that steel in there and those struts that are right where they need to be. There are some of the steel struts in there. Go back to the old Beaver Field days. Now, this is some. They aren't that high up because the original 30,000 seats is lower that they brought over from the west side of campus. And when it rains, and I'm sitting in the press box at a scrimmage, there's a shower or whatever. When you're sitting in the press box and it rains, you can see the original 30,000 seats. You can see it. Well, the steel struts that hold that section up, and again, it's lower, but they're older. So you just want to make, you know, you want to make sure that that's. So there's a lot more to this than just that. There are certain other parts of this where, for example, you know, maybe they want a video board for Jeffrey Field, possible. Medler Field, Lebrano Park, where Bucknell is going to play baseball tonight. That park is now 10 years old. I know the Spikes are heading into their 11th season, but the park itself is actually 10 years old. And it doesn't need much, but it still needs to have a once-over because it is 10 years old. You just have to make sure you're keeping up with everything. If I had to pick one thing that park needs, for example, it's actually on the television side. if you need to put a molt box connector in there, because when TV comes in, I don't care if it's the Big Ten Network or PCN or WHVL, whatever it happens to be, they have to string cable all over the place instead of plugging in. And the park was built before the Big Ten Network was established. That's, you know, now something like that's like a $200,000, $300,000 project. It's not that cost prohibitive. The Jordan Center is the single most intriguing one to me. The Jordan Center, to me, I think Populous is an unbelievable company and has unbelievable creativity. I think the Jordan Center tests their creativity. There's so much dead space in the two corners. You want those corners closed up, fans on top of the court. Nobody else has those dead spaces like they do. Nobody does. It'll test the it's going to test their creativity. That to me falls under the category of how good are you really? And these guys are good, believe me. These guys are good. All right, final half hour. Phone lines open at 1-800-795-9565. That's 800-795-9565 on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Today brought to you by our great friends at Sunbury Motors.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Cairns 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Don't forget Phillies baseball coming up tonight. Vince Velasquez takes the mound at 7:05 this evening. As the Phillies take on the Mets, airtime with Scott Fransky, Larry Anderson at 6:30 here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Time now for our sports bozo of the day. This was pretty easy. Gave out those Ed Snyder bracelets last night. The Flyers, of course, lost 6-1. Flyers fans took the bracelets and were throwing them onto the ice last night. They did it to the point where they received a 2-minute bench minor for the team. I'm always sick of hearing that Philly fans have a bad rap. You got to stop doing this stuff. All right, you got to stop doing stuff like that. All right? We got a bad rap. Well, you didn't help yourself last night. They're throwing stuff on the ice. What are you doing? We got a bad rap. Do you think you enhanced it last night? I don't. Unbelievable. All right. The NFL draft is next week. And and you got a couple of guys that are banged up. The linebacker Smith for Notre Dame, I'm not sure he can play. Next year. I'm not talking about down the road. And then there's the story of Miles Jack. I've talked to Tom Bradley a couple times. No, more than a couple times. I've talked to Tom Bradley a few times since he's been the defensive coordinator at UCLA. And Boy, does he have a lot of great things to say about Miles Jack. But the problem for Miles Jack is as follows. He tore his ACL last season. So now many people think he has the potential, when healthy, of being a top five NFL pick. Well, he hasn't really done much with the combines other than the interview part, things like that, because he's still rehabbing his knee. He's gone through medical checks on the knee. And then last week was the medical recheck. Well, there's been some stories about the medical recheck. And they're saying that Miles, you know, there's been a lot of talk that Miles Jack was going to drop. And again, when I mean drop, he's, many people think he's one of the first five guys off the board. And sometimes a story gets out there and it starts getting some momentum.
Yeah, I did see one mock draft where the Ravens could be taking him at number six.
Right. Well, the one thing that comes into play here is that there are a couple people that have put out stories that Miles Jack's knee was going to implode in the next 18 months. Really? Why float stories like that? There's no need to float that story. And it's one of the, it's something about the gamesmanship in this stuff that I just don't like. Just, there's no need, and you know, and I've talked about this in negative recruiting, but there's some gamesmanship that happens in this thing. It's a draft, for goodness sakes. And this is, you know, Miles Jack is a 21-year-old guy. You have serious doctors taking a serious look at what was a serious injury. All right. But do you need to keep floating stories out there about it? Now, what agent, and I'm inside his agent, but what agent or agents are floating those stories to pump up their client? What teams are maybe floating it a little bit because maybe they want to draft him, but they don't want you to draft him in front of them? I mean, what? I don't understand this. Why do you play games with somebody's life? If you think he's good, you'll pick him. If it doesn't fit you, you don't. I mean, obviously the timing hasn't been great for him. I mean, let's face it. You know, they had to repair the knee. He had a torn meniscus. I mean, the timing for him isn't great. I understand that. He also could have come back for another year at UCLA. I mean, listen to this. NFL source calls Miles Jack a time bomb whose knee could give him several good years or not. Bone and cartilage starting to break away. I don't know. It's, now, the rechecks on Jalen Smith and Notre Dame evidently were not great either. His problem is nerve damage. And the recheck solidified the fact that he won't be playing football this upcoming season. And again, this is another guy that was projected as being a top 10 guy. And that's just a real shame. is a real shame. And well, there's another guy that maybe you draft with the idea that a year from now he's, you know, that you'll have him, and it's like getting an additional first round pick next year. But that's the issue you got to deal with here. The gamesmanship is just a little bit much after a while. These are human beings, after all. I mean, how would you like if they were playing games with your potential profession? There's another one here that says the Cowboys are leaning toward picking Dak Prescott. Why? I'm sorry. I watched them in Mississippi State. I don't get it. In a later round, yeah. But in the first couple rounds, I'm not, you know, he's rated higher than Christian Hackenberg.
Speaking of Christian Hackenberg, we learned that he's going to be on the Dan Patrick Show here on WKOK tomorrow.
Oh, he's been on everything this week.
Yeah. Now, is his appearance on Gruden's QB camp, is that on this week?
They've been running them all over the place. He's on several times.
Yeah, I've already seen the Gruden one with Carson Wentz.
Yeah. And he'll be on several times between now and the draft. It's like Christian Hackenberg is a guy where if you draft him, you give him a year, I think you're going to get somebody that can really play for you. He has a big-time NFL arm. He can make all the throws. I mean, he can make all the throws. You need him to put some air underneath it, clear a linebacker, he can do it. You need him to throw that tight spiral on the out, he's got it. You need to thread it between a couple guys over the middle, he's got it. You need him to throw a deep ball, he can throw the deep ball. He moves a lot better than people realize. He's quicker than people realize. And pre-snap, he's outstanding. His ability to recognize protections, slide protections, pick up on blitzes, get the offensive line, for the most part, in what should be the right protection for him. He has the ability, he does all of that. He's going to go into the NFL pre-snap, cable ready, but post-snap, he's going to need time to adjust to the pro game. He is a guy that studies a lot, and he has been a guy that, in my opinion, has been unfairly chastised by certain corners as to what he did here at Penn State. I'm sitting down, and I'm looking at a guy like that, and I'm saying to myself, okay, He goes to a place that's severely sanctioned. He had months to change his commitment, wouldn't do it. He had a chance to get out after his first year, wouldn't do it. He had a chance to get out after his second year, wouldn't do it. And then after his third year, when he was finally draft eligible, he went to the draft. What does that tell you about his character? And character means a lot in the NFL. That's what he did here at Penn State. And he took a beating. 103 sacks in 3 years. But again, sanctions played a huge role in that, because who was number two on that list? Cody Kessler of USC. What was Cody Kessler's issue at USC? The offensive line. What was the issue with the offensive line at USC? Oh, sanctions. Again, you have to recruit differently in a different way when you're sanctioned to have reduced scholarships. It's the way it is. But for whatever reason, Christian Hackenberg is, and I've talked to Christian about this. I said, I don't understand why you're always such a lightning rod. I said, it's one thing to be the starting quarterback, because every starting quarterback is the lightning rod. But I don't understand now when now we're going through a draft scenario, like the big story is that you did this or you didn't do that or you said this or you didn't say that. I said, I saw the story about you not about you throwing some people under the bus here. And I knew right away it wasn't true. And he looked at me and he said, well, he said, why'd you know what right away it wasn't true? I said, because I've known you for 3 years and you not one time have even in private conversation thrown people under the bus. And you know what he looked at me? He says, exactly. He said, Steve, do you, he says, do people think I'm that stupid? He said, I would never do that. Christian's been going to, I would say, of the, he was at the Blue-White game. Of the spring practices, he probably was at maybe seven. Felt comfortable enough to be around everybody to come in. They felt comfortable enough around him to make sure he, the door was wide open anytime he wanted. He actually gave Jack and me one day great insight on the pluses and areas of improvement for each of the wideouts, which was invaluable to us. It really kind of gave us a checklist as to what to look for with the younger guys from his perspective as a quarterback. Yeah. It's one thing to, you know, there's a story and you go after the story. I got that. It's another thing to have stuff floated about somebody. And Christian Hackenberg has been a perfect example to me of somebody who has been that there's certain people. I'm not talking the local guy. I'm not talking about the Penn State beat writers. The Penn State beat writers have been tremendous. But for some reason, he seems to be an interesting story and a lightning rod for a couple of the regional and national guys where I don't quite get what the fascination is. I had a long talk with one NFL offensive coordinator whom I'm not going to get into. I'm not going to get in right now who it is. But they really like him. You know, they think that, you know, that sitting out a year will benefit him tremendously, but they really like him. The arm, the makeup, they, you know, it's one thing that they looked at the pro day, the improved footwork. And there are a couple, there are two teams in particular that are very interested in him. I talked to representatives from both. And I talked with the offensive coordinator, particularly of one. Now, I don't know whether these two teams will end up drafting him or not, but they were really, both of them, really interested in him. And they should be. Again, how he handled himself through all this, he handled himself with high character. That means something. Each system, Bill's system, and then James Franklin's system, had him doing things pre-snap that are NFL-ready things to do. I've already told the Bryce Petty story probably 15 times now about at Baylor you don't do that. And it's just not their system. There's nothing wrong. I'm not taking shots at what Baylor does here, but that's just not what they do. They're a hurry-up, quick, go offense, and there's no need to get to the line of scrimmage and look over and go, okay, he's the Mike. He's up, he's down. I'm going to take the running back, flip him to this side because I see that they're overloading on this side. I think they might blitz there. And Bryce Petty, because Baylor doesn't do that. Right? It's not their system. Bryce Petty went to the Jets and had tremendous problems with the Jets trying to learn all that because he had never had to do it before. Christian's going to go into a camp and at least have the feel already of how to do something like that. And that will help him and aid him in his development. He's the most interesting guy in the draft, I'll say that. And Anthony Zettel wants to borrow his driver more often because I told you that story, didn't I?
You did when you were out golfing with him a few weeks back. Yes, you did.
Zettel borrowed Hackenberg's driver. He drove the sixth. He drove the sixth green. It's 400 yards. Like, what are you doing? Zettel's a freak.
Zettel's hardcore on the golf course. I remember watching a Penn State football story feature on him last fall.
Well, he was laughing because he was laughing with Jack Ham about this, and he says, "Oh, you play golf with Steve?" He says, "Yeah." He says, "I said, yeah." He drove the green. He says, "Go ahead." He says, he looks at Jack. He says, "The wheels came off the wagon the last three holes." And he pointed over. He goes, "Slow and steady over there won the race." And Zettel's funny. But man, can he launch when he gets a hold of one? Oh, my goodness. Right. He had Hackenberg tap out it for him to get a birdie. So, we'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Town's kind of filled up in a buzz today because the presidential campaign has worked its way here, even though the New York primary is today. Next up will be among a group of states, the Pennsylvania primary, and Bernie Sanders is here today. And I know you were actually shocked, Sean, but you got it. I mean, Sanders is consistent. His event is free. So, I couldn't resist that one. That was too easy.
Some have already said, well, he may not have a shot in New York tonight, so he's already moved on to PA.
Well, he's here.
Yeah, it's true.
Moved on to PA.
He's
standing 2 miles from me here. But they had long lines outside of Rec Hall and to see him. Now, part of the long lines is like, oh, yeah, long lines. But, you know, you got to remember, everybody has to go through metal detectors to get in. It's just a longer process to do things like this. So that's why you're going to get long lines. I mean, it's sold out. I mean, every seat's going to be taken for it. But it also takes a while to kind of go through it because of the, you know, with Secret Service takes no chances on anything for obvious reasons. All right, so that's going on here today. And the Phillies play tonight. Vince Velasquez on the mound tonight. Well, can he make it three in a row? They've got the Mets tonight. Mets are 6-6. Phils are 6-8. Velasquez going for his third straight win tonight. Man, does he have a great mix of pitches. And it's something that's been a real plus for him. He now has control over what he's doing out there. That's at 7:05 tonight with Scott Fransky in L.A. They'll have the call from Citizens Bank Park. 6:30 will be the airtime, just a mere 90 minutes from now. Jennifer Wakeman and news coming up, top of the hour. Tomorrow, Adam Purdy's going to be on the show. Since we'll be 2 weeks out from the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament, we'll have Adam Purdy on tomorrow to talk about the tournament and how you can get involved. We'd love to sell it out in this, the 25th year of the event, and the fifth year in a row that we will be broadcasting live. Sean will be out there with Kevin signing autographs. I'll be working. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio.
We're your home for news, sports, weather, and your home for the Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK, Sunbury.